Welcome to Sharp Insights, conversations with your plan giving experts, a podcast for development professionals. Whether you're new to the field or looking to enhance your existing program, we will provide practical tips, expert advice, and real-world stories to deepen your understanding of plan giving. If you're committed to securing long-term support for your nonprofit, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to Sharp Insights, conversations with your plan giving experts. I'm your host, Grant Miller. In today's episode, we're focusing on one of the most important yet often overlooked elements of a successful plan giving program, donor data. Accurate, well-maintained data isn't just about keeping your records tidy. It's about understanding your donors, building trust, and tailoring your outreach so it resonates with your organization's most important members. To walk us through best practices for enhancing and segmenting donor data and how these strategies translate into stronger relationships, I'm joined by Sharp CEO Jim Ross. Jim, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you.
Hey, thank you, Grant. Glad to be here.
Well, to start us off, could you just explain what a data update or append is and how to turn donor data into opportunities?
Certainly. A lot of terms on donor data update and appends. Really, those are two nuances. Update means that Sharp would update the data that's in your donor file. For example, a correct mailing address. An append is where we would add something to your file, something that's not already there. And a great example is to identify donors that have passed away since your last donor update. So those are append and update, but more importantly, best practices for an accurate donor data file is that it's first of all complete, then that it is correct, and finally that it's current. So those three elements, complete, correct, current, that's what the basis of a usable donor data file to identify opportunities in your donor constituency that will identify and open up opportunities that you may not have known were there.
Okay. And just thinking about donor databases in general, what are the most important data points to have in a database? And what is the criteria that should guide a decision for an organization to update their database?
Basically, your database needs to have the accurate address. That means the donor's prefix, first name, middle name or initial, last name, and suffix. So you have a complete, unique name for that donor. Then accurate address, consistent with what the post office has, perhaps updated with what is available for PCOA, which is the most accurate address basis available. And then city, state, and zip code. It can be a 5-digit zip code or it could be the 9-digit zip code. So important thing is an accurate address, followed by an age. What is the age of your donor, and is that age current? So you need to have in your donor file a formula that makes the age of the donors current as of the date you open the file, which is an Excel formula. Secondly, you need to know their marital status, their gender. So that's the demographic information. But to make real decisions based on the data, you've got to know what's their income, what's their net worth, and how much is the value of their home residence, because in what Sharp provides, that value is not in the net worth. The reason that's important, if you have an older donor, perhaps a widow or single, there may be the greatest opportunity for a bequest in the home when they pass away.
So in your estimation, how often do you think an organization should review and update their donor data?
Well, the most important is current. So that means you need to know your donors who have passed away during the past 12 months. Frankly, it's not expensive. It's reliable, comes off of the Social Security Administration, enhanced by looking at magazine subscriptions and utility bills. So if those stop coming, if the magazine subscription is expired, that may mean that donor has passed. So current, and you should do that once a year. It's inexpensive. expensive because normally you will find a 2.5 to 3.5% of your file has passed away in the last year, particularly if your donor constituency is made up of older generations, like the GI generation, which is very small number of donors now, the silent generation, which are those from 81 to 98 years old, and the boomers, 62 years old to 80 years old. So you'll save in printing and postage many times more than what the deceased update costs you. And then secondly, about every 3 years, you should update your entire donor file because people have great capital gains, people lose their jobs. There's always a change going on in the life cycle of your donors, and you need to know what those are and keep those current and correct.
Okay, you mentioned one of the data points to include is a donor's net worth. Is that right?
That's correct.
So how does a data append differ from, say, a wealth screening?
Wealth screening is a completely different approach than generational fundraising. Wealth screening is primarily used in capital campaigns. It's an internal look at your donor file, and it's identifying those donors with large net worth, large incomes, past giving history, so they can reach out on a one-on-one basis to achieve the goal for whatever the total dollar value of the capital campaign is. And that's different than generational fundraising. That's different than wealth screening, which is usually a one-shot, one-time, do it for this campaign. We won't do it again for the next 5 years. Generational fundraising is a different approach. It's a longer-term perspective. It looks at the life cycle of a generation, and life cycles don't change. The generation might change. Boomers might become silent generation ages. Gen X might become boomer generations. But the thing that happens at the same age range in each generation, virtually unchanged. So generational fundraising looks at those relatively fixed facts and communicates with the donors for what's going on in their life. Did they just have a grandchild? Did their grandchild just get married? Did a spouse pass away? So these are significant elements that happen to every generation. They happen at a relatively similar age range. And what you're trying to do is to build a relationship over the long term with that particular donor. The secret to generational fundraising and the secret to any planned giving fundraising is relationship building. We know that relationship building is important. The ways you contact your donors, the number of times you contact the donors, the way you contact your donors, the size of the fonts. You need to have larger fonts for the silent generation. Those folks who are 81 and older, their eyesight starts to fail. And they need to be able to read your documentation, your newsletters, your brochures. They need to see it and understand it. And it's got to be written in terms that they relate to. Certainly not Gen Z terms or even the millennial terms, but Gen Z terms, silent generation terms. And those contacts need to be at least those touches at least 5 times a year. It's better to have 9 touches. They don't have to be newsletters every time, but they need to be a birthday card. If the couple's still married, an anniversary card. Some educational information on what about a minimum required distribution from your IRA? How does that work? What's the benefit of that? What about a gift annuity for an older parent or for a struggling nephew or niece? Those are things that you need to know, and they happen in every generation. And that's why, over the long term, more predictable is the results from generational fundraising. So the donor database, complete, current, correct, provides you the basis to develop a marketing strategy for each age group in each generation to have a more meaningful communication and interchange and to get better responses and replies to whatever that communication media and channel is.
Okay, so those are some really good details and points and things to think about when using data to engage and build relationships with your donors. In your experience, have you seen where having updated data has inspired an effective outreach strategy or a measurable improvement in donor engagement or other results?
Oh, absolutely. Sharp's been doing this since 2008. So we're talking 18 years of experience. A lot of the current providers for this service in the market area are relatively new. They're using technology that's been developed in the last two or three years. They don't have near the breadth and depth of sources to get this information on individual donors. So I remember several of these. One large membership organization we worked with was bringing in $7 million a year, and they had huge potential. We worked with that group for over 5 years. First year after working with them, we went from 7 million to 13 million, and we begin to build on that every year. The momentum's important. Following the strategy is important. Tactics, reviewing them, every mailing is important. And it's also important to get a nice mix now of digital and print communications. But remember, for that silent generation and older boomers, they don't really make decisions based on digital information on their phone or in their email. They want to get a piece of paper. They want to read it. They want to think about it. And they want to file it. So when they're ready to make a decision or to talk to their family or talk to their financial advisor, they can go forward with some basis of understanding of what to expect. So that's why print will never grow old. It'll be supplemented. And as you go through the younger generations to the millennials and particularly the Zs, they don't want print, at least not yet in their life cycle. So that's why the variety is so important and the touches are so important.
So we'll pursue a few different strategies to engage with our donors. I recently put together a survey for one of the organizations that we work with, and it was, you know, one of the national organizations, and the survey went out to thousands of people of all ages, not just late boomers or the silent generation. And the overwhelming response was that people still did want to see print publications. And so I thought that was really interesting. Even the younger generations seem to be really welcome to having something they can hold in their hands. Well, in your estimation, are organizations out there doing a pretty good job of keeping their databases current, correct, and complete? Or do you find it's something that organizations need to pay more attention to?
Yes, it's really disturbing on how many nonprofits don't utilize the information in their database to make marketing and donor communication decisions. A lot of them just have the donor's name and address. They don't have their age. They don't have their income. They don't have their net worth. They certainly don't have the value of the primary residence. They might have marital status. They might have gender, but they don't have the information to really target that group of donors within that generation where the money is. And it's really sad. Some nonprofits will use a donor identification approach known as propensity to give. What they get from that is a score. The score presumably has the correct algorithms to identify who the A level is, the B level is, the C level is. It supposedly takes into account the gender, the marital status, income, net worth, probably doesn't include the value of the residence, but it gives you a score. You don't know if it's because of high income or because of net worth. While Sharp Group gives you that specific data so you can more accurately find who you want to mail to and more accurately come up with the content of whatever that communication piece is. And that's what is so disturbing. When I started at Sharp in 2010, we were still trying to get everybody to recognize the value of age on the file. And now we're 16 years into that. All of the GI generations passed away. So if there was any, let's call it low-hanging fruit for bequest, you've missed that opportunity. But the silent generation is in that row. I did an analysis for a membership group recently. Over 50% of their donor file was over the age of 62. That means over 50% were boomers, silents, and GI generation members. And amazingly, 3.5% were GI generation. These are people over 99 years of age.
Wow.
And you talk about identifying someone to make a phone call to reach out to and have a nice conversation, find out if perhaps your organization is in their estate plans. Well, maybe they hadn't thought about it. Maybe it's a spouse who's passed away was a member of the organization, forgot about that. That was what we found on the first nonprofit I talked about. So knowing specifically who has net worth over $2 million, who has a home worth over $500,000, boomers who are making over $500,000 a year with a high net worth. You can target, you can identify topics for educating them on the benefits of gifts, on the different types of gifts. For boomers particularly, educate them on the ability to use a charitable gift annuity for an older parent. The opportunities are endless. Again, the required distribution from an IRA and the tax advantages and how that works into the planning. Without the detail, instead of using scoring, you will make better decisions. You will have greater opportunity.
Just based on my experience, you mentioned earlier that this is relatively inexpensive, and we don't have to get into the numbers or anything, but does the price point change depending on how many donors an organization has?
Price of the update for deceased append and all of the other updates always based on the quantity of information that you're able to provide and add to or update the donor file. So yes, it is variable depending upon the quantity, but at some points for large organizations, for example, on a deceased file, if this organization has more than 5 million donors in their file, the cost of that drops almost in half. So if you run your file all at the same time, instead of like some of our clients have separated up into quarters, you get a much better return on that investment. And knowing 2 or 3% of over 5 million donor list and not mailing magazines or newsletters or publications to them is a huge return.
All right. And, you know, again, just based on my rudimentary understanding of the data append, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you wanted to add or anything that we missed?
Well, I think the good news in this with the data update and append is that with the advent of artificial intelligence, AI, it's creating more noise in the marketplace, not just the nonprofit marketplace, but the entire business community, including the donors, that people are beginning to understand that data-driven decisions are better. One of the famous quotes is, if it's not data-driven decision, it's just someone's opinion. And there's not anything that says one person's opinion is better than any other's. Got to be data-driven decision-making in using your donor data file. The opportunity is you will increase your planned gifts and your major gifts. And once again, it's required that that donor data file be complete, be current, and correct.
Complete, current, and correct. And speaking of AI, it's a very useful tool in many ways, but one kind of horror story I recently heard was someone ran an Excel spreadsheet of their donors through AI to just get it down to names and addresses so they could do a mailing, and whatever open AI they used changed a lot of the addresses and they got a lot of envelopes back in their mailbox that went to wrong addresses. So I guess just everybody keep an eye on that and just remember that everything does need a second set of human eyes on it, right?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that we do offer the ability to run your addresses through the PCOA profiling that will correct those addresses, be the most accurate. But we offer a lot of different data points. I've seen some of these offerings in the internet that they're offering services and they're bragging that they have 35 or 40 sources. We have over 5,000 data points. Do you want to know who in your data file has an IRA? Certainly a lot easier to explain required minimum distribution to that person than someone who does not have an IRA. Who has annuities? If they have an annuity, even a commercial annuity, they know how it works. They know how charitable gift annuity works and the tax benefits. Number of children in the household. Who has an insurance policy in the household? It's unbelievable the amount of data that's out there. And so you have to have a data resource update provider that has proprietary algorithms that use all of the information. It's all public. We don't use private information, all public available information to get your donor data file correct and current and complete.
Great. So there's also a way to strengthen our relationships with our donors just a lot more efficiently and pointedly.
Yes, I agree with that. That's a great summarization, Grant.
That's great. Well, Jim, thanks for the conversation. It was great to have you on it. I learned a lot, and I hope that everyone else out there has learned a lot about this idea that your donor database is more than just names and numbers, but that it's something that is living resource that should be current, correct, and complete, as you say, in order to strengthen some relationships with your donors.
Grant, it's the beginning of a successful planned giving program for the long term.
Great. Well, thanks again, Jim. It's great to have you on today. And that wraps up today's conversation on Sharp Insights. Thanks again to Jim for sharing these valuable insights on how enhanced and segmented data can elevate your plan giving efforts out there. I'm Grant Miller, and I hope you'll join us again next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope today's discussion gave you practical takeaways to grow your plan giving program. To submit questions and topics for future episodes, go to sharpgroup.org or listen to us on your favorite podcast app. If you found this podcast insightful, be sure to like, review, and subscribe. Until then, stay sharp.